Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at a moment that makes you think about how politics and economics, how they kind of get all mixed up together.
They do.
Yeah, and what that can mean for all of us, everyday folks.
Right.
We're talking about the early 1970s,
Okay.
Richard Nixon's re-election campaign, and some pretty shocking conversations that we're going to be hearing.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, caught on tape.
So what exactly are we what are we looking at?
Well, we're going to be examining whether political pressure
Okay.
may have influenced the Federal Reserve,
Okay.
the institution that's responsible for managing the U.S. money supply and interest rates.
Right. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, so this isn't just speculation or anything.
Okay.
We're actually going to hear excerpts from Nixon's own White House tapes,
Wow.
those infamous recordings that captured all sorts of behind-the-scenes dealings.
So we'll hear Nixon himself.
Exactly. We'll hear Nixon himself
Yeah.
and Arthur Burns, who was the Fed chairman at the time.
Oh, wow.
It's going to be a fascinating glimpse into a pivotal moment
Right.
in economic history.
And you're right. This isn't just about big names and dates.
No.
The decisions that were made back then had real-world consequences
Exactly.
that kind of rippled through the economy for years to come.
Yeah, for years to come. So to set the stage,
Okay.
it's 1971. The U.S. is recovering from a recession,
Okay.
but unemployment is still over 5%.
Yeah.
Now, Nixon really wants to win that second term in 72.
Right.
And he's got this sensitivity to the economy, especially during election years.
Makes sense.
He actually blamed his loss in the 1960 election,
Oh, really?
at least in part, on the state of the economy.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So you can imagine he's feeling the pressure to make sure things are looking good,
Right.
for voters come 1972.
Yeah.
And here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Nixon had appointed Arthur Burns,
Yeah.
who is a well-respected economist,
Right.
as Fed chairman. But Burns was also a Republican,
Okay.
and some might say loyal to Nixon.
That's interesting.
So that raises a crucial question.
Yeah, what's that?
Was Burns more open to political pressure
Right.
than a Fed chair from a different party might have been?
That's a good question, yeah.
Let's dive into those tapes and see what they reveal.
Okay.
In a lot of these conversations, you can practically hear Nixon's anxiety
Yeah.
about the economy.
Understandable.
He keeps pushing Burns
Okay.
to lower interest rates
Okay.
and increase the money supply.
Okay. And these are classic moves to stimulate economic growth,
Exactly.
but they can also lead to inflation down the road, right?
Exactly. And Nixon doesn't exactly mince
Oh,
words.
boy.
In October of 71,
Okay.
he tells Burns, "I don't want to go out of town fast."
Wow. So he's clearly worried about losing the election
Yeah.
if the economy doesn't pick up.
Right.
Makes
And
sense.
in December,
Okay.
after Burns informs Nixon that he's lowered the discount rate,
Okay. The discount rate.
that's the interest rate at which banks can borrow from the Federal Reserve.
Right.
Nixon practically cheers him on.
Oh,
He's like,
wow.
"You can lead him. You can lead him. You always have now. Just kick him in the rump a little."
Wow, those recordings
Yeah.
really paint a picture of a president putting a lot of pressure
Right.
on the person who's supposed to be making independent decisions
Right.
about monetary policy.
Exactly. And the thing is, the money supply did increase significantly
Okay.
in 1971 and the first half of 72.
Interesting.
Now, it's important to note that the Federal Open Market Committee,
Okay.
the group within the Fed
Right.
that actually sets monetary policy,
Okay.
did express some concerns
Okay.
about this increasingly expansionary approach.
So they weren't all on board.
No, some members even voted reluctantly for these measures.
Oh, wow. So they had their doubts, but
Yeah.
they went along with it.
But the trend was clear.
Right.
The Fed was prioritizing growth.
Oh, okay.
But there's another layer to this story.
Oh, there is.
Nixon wasn't just concerned about monetary policy.
What else was on his mind?
He became incredibly suspicious of Burns,
Really?
even worrying about who Burns might suggest for open positions on the Federal Reserve Board.
So he was worried about Burns' influence.
Yeah, he was convinced that Burns was going to try and stack the Fed
Yeah.
with
No.
people he couldn't control.
It seems like Nixon really wanted to have the final say,
He did?
even when it came to an institution that was
Yeah.
supposed to be independent.
It's interesting.
It is.
In one recorded conversation, Nixon rants about how he won't let Burns
Oh, wow.
name his people, comparing the situation to his struggles with Chief Justice Warren Burger.
That's a pretty strong reaction.
It is. So we've got a president who's obsessed with the economy
Right.
and distrustful of even his own appointees.
Yeah.
So this is where we have to ask.
What's that?
Did all this pressure actually work?
Right.
Did Burns give in and give Nixon the economic boost
right.
that he was so desperate for?
It's a big question.
Well, the economy did boom in 1972.
Oh, okay.
Real GDP growth hit 7.7%.
Wow.
And Nixon won re-election in a landslide.
So it seems like he got what he wanted.
He did. But yeah. Was that all thanks to Burns and the Fed?
Right. Was it a coincidence or was there something more to it?
That's the million-dollar question.
It is.
And as with many economic policies,
right.
there can be unintended consequences down the line.
Yeah. What goes up must come down, as they say.
While the rapid expansion of the money supply may have fueled that 72 boom,
uh-huh.
it also laid the groundwork
okay.
for some serious inflation
oh.
in the years that followed.
How bad are we talking?
We're talking about inflation rates above 9% in 73.
Wow.
And a staggering 11.8% in 74.
Oof. So the economic hangover from this politically charged boom
yeah.
was severe.
It was.
So the question remains, did Burns knowingly sacrifice long-term stability for short-term political gain?
Or was he genuinely trying to navigate a complex economic situation?
Right. Maybe he thought he could control it. It's a puzzle.
It is.
The tapes are incredibly revealing.
They are.
But they don't give us a definitive answer.
No, they don't. What stands out to you so far?
Well, I mean, it's hard to ignore the timing of the Fed's actions
right.
and those pretty blatant comments from Nixon.
Right. But could there be another side to this story?
Yeah. I mean, was Burns truly acting out of political loyalty
yeah.
or were there legitimate economic reasons for his decisions?
That's what we've got to figure out.
It is.
It's a tough one.
Well, it's important to remember that Arthur Burns wasn't just some political hack.
Right.
I mean, he had a long and distinguished career as an economist.
Right.
In fact, his earlier writings and speeches suggest yeah. that he was very aware of the dangers of inflation.
So it seems unlikely he'd just throw caution to the wind.
Right.
Even for Nixon.
Exactly. And we need to consider the economic context of the time.
Okay.
I mean, some economists were arguing that a bit of inflation
uh-huh.
was an acceptable trade-off
no.
for lower unemployment.
Interesting.
They felt that the traditional approach to managing the economy was too cautious.
Okay.
And that bolder action was needed.
So maybe Burns was persuaded by those arguments.
It's possible.
Maybe he genuinely believed that a more expansionary policy
right.
was the right course of action.
It's definitely possible. And there's another factor to consider.
Okay, what's that?
Wage and price controls.
Oh, right, right. I remember reading about that.
Remember, Nixon had implemented these controls in 1971.
Yeah.
In an attempt to curb inflation.
Right. But how did those controls work exactly?
Essentially, the government set limits on how much businesses could raise prices.
Okay.
And how much wages could increase.
Okay, so it's like a limit.
Yeah. The goal was to prevent a wage price spiral.
A wage price spiral.
Where rising wages lead to higher prices,
mm-hmm.
which then lead to demands for even higher wages.
Oh, I see.
And so on.
It's like trying to break a vicious cycle.
Precisely. Yeah. And Burns was a strong advocate for these controls. He believed they provided a window of opportunity
right.
to stimulate the economy without triggering runaway inflation.
So he thought he could kind of like have his cake and eat it too.
Yeah, basically.
But as we know, that didn't quite work out in the long run.
Yeah, unfortunately not.
Inflation did eventually surge once those controls were lifted.
That's right. But in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Burns might have genuinely thought he could manage the situation.
Right.
He might have underestimated the potential long-term consequences
mm-hmm.
or overestimated the effectiveness of the controls.
So it seems like we have some compelling arguments on both sides.
Yeah.
On one hand, we have those tapes revealing Nixon's pressure.
Right.
And the suspicious timing of the Fed's actions.
Uh-huh.
But on the other hand, Burns was a respected economist.
He was.
Who was acutely aware of the risks of inflation.
Right. It's possible he even thought he had a clever workaround
yeah.
with those wage and price controls.
It's a classic historical dilemma.
It is. We can analyze the evidence. We can consider different interpretations and still not arrive at a definitive answer.
That's true.
Ultimately, we can't get inside Arthur Burns' head.
No.
And know for sure what his motivations were.
It's frustrating, but it's also fascinating, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
I guess it's up to each of us to weigh the evidence and come to our own conclusion.
Exactly. And that's what makes history so engaging.
Yeah.
It's not just about memorizing facts and dates.
Yeah.
It's about grappling with ambiguity,
yeah.
exploring different perspectives,
mm-hmm.
and forming our own judgments
yeah.
based on the available information.
Right. And maybe just maybe learning from the mistakes of the past.
Exactly.
So we don't repeat them.
Precisely. And that brings us to the larger implications of this episode.
Okay.
I mean, this story raises crucial questions
yeah.
about the delicate balance between political influence
okay.
and the independence of institutions like the Federal Reserve.
It's a reminder that even powerful institutions aren't immune to political pressure.
That's right. And that those pressures can have significant,
yeah.
even unintended consequences for all of us.
That's an important takeaway.
It is.
Especially when we think about our own roles
right.
as citizens.
Exactly. We need to be aware of the forces that can influence decision making
yeah.
at all levels of government.
Yeah.
From the Federal Reserve to our local city council.
Yeah, because ultimately it's our responsibility to hold our elected officials accountable.
Absolutely.
And ensure that decisions are being made in the best interests of the community.
Exactly. So let's bring this back to our listeners here in Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena.
Okay.
What lessons can we learn from this story?
Right.
About the potential consequences of short-term thinking?
Yeah.
Both in economics and in local decision-making.
How can we, as engaged citizens, advocate for responsible policies?
Right.
That benefit our community in the long run.
Exactly.
Not just provide quick fixes.
Right.
Or satisfy short-term political interests.
It's a question worth pondering.
It is.
And for our listeners who are passionate about these issues and yeah. want to make a difference in their community,
yeah.
I encourage you to check out the resources available at thinkandactlocally.com.
We've got information on local initiatives, mm-hmm. ways to get involved,
mm-hmm.
and opportunities to connect with other engaged citizens
right.
who are working to make Southeast Houston a better place to live.
We believe that informed citizens are empowered citizens.
Absolutely.
Citizens who can ask tough questions,
yeah.
challenge assumptions,
mm-hmm.
and work together to create positive change.
Yeah, it's amazing how a story from the 1970s can still feel so relevant today.
It is.
Especially here in Southeast Houston.
Absolutely. I mean, the Nixon-Burns episode,
right.
it's a reminder that these economic forces and political pressures,
mm.
they play out on all levels of government, mm. even in our own communities.
We might not have presidential tapes to analyze,
right.
but we can look at how decisions are made in our city councils,
uh-huh.
you know, our school boards
right.
and other local bodies.
Yeah. Are they prioritizing long-term well-being
right.
or just chasing quick wins?
And that's where informed citizens make such a difference.
Absolutely.
When people understand the potential consequences
yep.
of short-term thinking,
right.
they can ask tougher questions
uh-huh.
and demand more from their elected officials.
Exactly. We need to think beyond the immediate impact
right.
and consider the long-term effects on our community.
What might seem like a good deal or a quick solution
uh-huh.
could end up creating bigger problems down the road.
Just like those expansionary policies in the early 70s, right?
Exactly.
A booming economy sounded great at the time.
Yeah.
But it set the stage for some pretty painful inflation a few years later.
And those are the kinds of lessons that we want to help our listeners apply
absolutely
to their own lives and their communities.
We believe that when residents are informed and engaged,
yeah. they can make a real difference.
For sure.
They can advocate for responsible development,
uh-huh.
sustainable infrastructure,
right.
and policies that benefit everyone in the long run.
And that's what Think and Act Locally is all about.
Absolutely.
Empowering residents of Deer Park, La Porte, and Pasadena.
Yeah.
with the knowledge and resources they need to make a positive impact.
Whether it's understanding a proposed zoning change,
right.
advocating for better schools,
mm-hmm.
or simply being more informed about the issues facing our community,
yeah.
every small step counts.
So if you're inspired to think and act locally,
yes.
we encourage you to visit our website at thinkandactlocally.com.
You'll find a wealth of information there.
Yeah, we've got information on local initiatives, ways to get involved, and how to connect with other engaged citizens in Southeast Houston.
We also want to remind our listeners that we rely on the support of our community
yes.
to keep this podcast going.
If you find value in these deep dives.
Right. And our mission to empower residents
uh-huh.
with actionable information.
Yes.
Please consider making a donation.
There's a link in the show notes.
Every contribution, big or small,
yeah.
helps us continue to provide this valuable resource
right.
to the Southeast Houston community.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive
yes.
into a fascinating and surprisingly relevant chapter in economic history.
We hope it's inspired you to think a little differently
yeah.
about the choices we make both as individuals
right.
and as a community.
Until next time, keep thinking, keep questioning,
and keep acting locally.